Our last speaker in the conference is Rob Herzhoff. Rob will always, I believe, have the gratitude of thinking South Africans, because when he stood up at the BizNews conference 3 years ago, nobody else was talking. Apart from the NGOs, they've always been talking, but they can be handled. It's when a business leader attacks the status quo that suddenly you have to start listening when you're in corridors of power. And when he, in that very famous Futsek ANC speech, which more than 500,000 people have watched, called out business leaders and politicians. For the first time, it wasn't just, oh, the ANC. These were individuals. And I've got a feeling that's what Donald Trump and co. are about to do now with the Johnson Bill in the United States. Watch this space. Very interesting. He's an excellent choice for a closing speaker. He needs no introduction to the BizNews tribe. He's a swashbuckling entrepreneur, a fierce critic of the establishment, and a passionate advocate for a better South Africa. While you know Rob Herzhoff as the founder of Invest Africa and the man who sold a private jet company to Warren Buffett, you might not know about his very first job in the corporate world, which actually was in the news in the past week. After graduating from Harvard Business School, his first role was as the business development manager at News Corporation, working directly as the right-hand man to its legendary and formidable chairman, Rupert Murdoch. It was an incredible apprenticeship, learning the media business at the highest possible level from one of the most powerful and controversial figures in global media. Rob may well have some thoughts for us about this week's announcement that Rupert has appointed his son, Lachlan, to take over in a real-life conclusion of the four-season hit series Succession, which was based on the Rupert family, on the Murdoch family, rather. So, not the Rupert family, the Murdoch family. So, if you want to know about the Murdoch dynasty, you can ask Rob, or you can go and watch that HBO series, which is on, I think it's on MultiChoice. Showmax. Rob has brought that same disruptive, take-no-prisoners energy to everything he's done since. Please give a massive welcome to the one and only Rob Herzhoff. This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. Building wealth and protecting legacy since 2004. Invest better with Brenthurst.
Thanks, everyone. Just on the Rupert Murdoch story, I was thrilled to hear the results of that court case and that Lachlan is in charge, because two of the great people that have stood up, they're unsung heroes that have stood up for Judeo-Christian civilization, the West, freedom of speech, and everything we hold dear, property rights, and what you would call the center and center right, have been Rupert Murdoch and Elon Musk. And Rupert Murdoch, with Fox News, with Sky, with all his newspapers, occupied the center-center-right when he had ABC, NBC, CBS against him, and the whole woke world was starting to, had already taken over education institutions, but had already invaded the rest of the communities in the West, and we were heading towards the abyss, a leftist abyss. And then Elon Musk took over Twitter, probably paid $40 billion, could have paid $20 billion, try to get out of the deal. And he concluded that, and he reinstituted freedom of speech. So the two of them, I salute, Rupert Murdoch and Elon Musk. And when I heard the children, two of whom were very woke, James and Elizabeth, were trying to take control of the empire, and Lachlan, the remaining center and center-right member of the family, was fighting against them. When I heard Lachlan had won, I felt it was another victory. And thank you, Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan Murdoch. But everyone, you know, when I came up to say I'm the finishing speaker, everyone started to give me advice, particularly my wife. And I did prepare something which fits with the investment conference we're having today. But I've also done a lot of work on another topic, And I was going to ask you to vote on which one you wanted today. Okay. And the first one, which is the one you're getting, the one you're getting, is South Africa is uninvestable under the ANC, because that's what this conference is about, this extraordinary conference. And Alec and BizNews, well done. I mean, this has been superb. And that's the one you're getting. But the one you're not getting this time, but you will get hopefully in the next few weeks, is me as a benevolent dictator, John, for 100 days. And the first thing I'll do as a benevolent dictator is sign my resignation letter with a personal guarantee, okay, in blood or however you want it, so that on day 101, you retire me. But in those 100 days, I will fix South Africa. And Prince Mashele said, Rob can fix the country in a year. And I was like, hang on, I can do it in 100 days. And what I've mapped out week by week, 14 weeks, is exactly what I do in those weeks. And it's done and it's ready. But you're not getting it today. So my father gave me advice. I had my 99-year-old father. I had lunch with him on Monday. He gave me advice and he said, Rob, can you stop banging on about the ANC and how terrible they are and tell us how we can fix South Africa? Well, yes, I will do that as a benevolent dictator for 100 days. But it's already been done very well today. And I thought Frans Grenier did it superbly by saying, burn the coal, you know, remove the import taxes. And what is the third one? Oh, yeah. Transport, just transport and ports, concession them. He said, simple as that. So we know how to fix the country. It's fixable. And I could turn it around in 100 days. I really can. And you'll hear that later. But the other bit of advice was Gayton McKenzie said, Rob, you don't need to keep banging on about the ANC and how terrible they are. They're collapsing under their own ineptitude and misrule. And then Chris Stein, our wonderful Chris Stein, who not only gave me some tissues, which are done as 100 euro bills, I rather love that. It's like capitalist tissues, love that. But Chris Stein said a wonderful thing to me. She said, you know, you really shouldn't be calling ANC and ANC voters stupid. You should call their policy stupid and their ideology stupid. And I think she's right, frankly. I think she is right, because when you read the comments, and Nick French gave me some advice just now. He said, don't read the comments. And unfortunately, I've gone live on MacG, which I recorded 2 weeks ago. It's gone live an hour ago. And I flicked it on and just had a look at the comments, and I got into quite a mood because there are some very nasty comments, okay? So I would ask you all afterwards to go on the MacG podcast, go into the comments section, and even if you don't believe it, write something nice about me, okay? Just say, Rob's great, please. That's going to be a couple of hundred of you. It'll swing the balance, okay? But the final bit of advice I picked up in John Endres' speech and Ashall's speech this morning, and I'm going to take this to heart, because Ashall said how he works the system is he uses the ANC's language. And the penny really dropped. He said, if you're confrontational and you call them stupid, as I've been doing, it gets their backs up. You don't win them over. You piss them off. Okay? And as John said, Leon Schreiber did the sort of motivational speech. This is why we're doing it. And he got them behind him like a true leader. And so all of this advice has been come together in my head. And then the final penny dropped. And I think we got to do something about it. When Prince Mashele said, what really moved the needle in the 1980s leading up to 1994 wasn't Cyril, but it was the elites met. And I found that fascinating when he said it was the Gavin Rellies and the Anthony Ogilvie and the Julian Ogilvie Thompsons met the elites of the ANC. And they had serious meetings in Lusaka, in London, all over the place. And they worked it out in advance. Okay, it wasn't the people standing up and announcing and making speeches and the great heroes. It was behind the scenes, people worked it out. And where are those elites today meeting and working it out? I think that needs to happen. You know, I'm happy to be involved, but I'm sure a lot of the corporate chieftains won't want me in the room. So maybe it is, you know, the good and the great of the corporate and NGO community meet with the good and the great of the ANC elites and start hammering out the next phase of South Africa. And I think that's really important. And I just want to congratulate Hendrik du Toit on standing up this week and calling out the ANC. He really did. He obviously got so angry, he couldn't take it anymore. And I want to thank him for doing that. And I sent him a nice email. I said, welcome to the club. And he said, Rob, it's taken a while, but I'm there with you. Now it's just two of us. So so thank you, Hendrik. And I just hope Adrian, Yanni, Stephen, Sim, and the others will do the same. And I think they will. So I will keep going. I will keep banging on about the ANC, and I'll tell you why. Because until the barbarians have left the gate, my job is not done. And there is a wonderful quote from a poet, it's about, I think, a 200-year-old called Cafalvi, and he was writing about the Roman Empire. And I've taken a little bit out of the poem, and I'll tell you why it's important. He's talking about the Senate, the Roman Senate. Night has fallen, and the barbarians haven't come. And some of our men just in from the border say, there are no barbarians anymore. Now, what's going to happen to us without barbarians? Those people were a kind of solution. And what he was saying was, the Roman Empire and its military might held together and unified against the threat, the external threat of the barbarians. And if there were no more barbarians, what was going to happen? It fell apart internally. And so my drive in my public speaking and taking all the hits has been, as Musi Maimane said, an absolute hatred of the ANC and what they've done to this country. And I can't see beyond it. Musi said, you can't see beyond your hatred of what the ANC has done to this country. And he's right. But when they leave, when the barbarians leave the gate, then my job is done. Because 3.5 years ago, nobody stood up and said, Futsak ANC, no one. I was told by Bridget Radebe and others, that is insulting. You can't say that. I said, no, what the ANC's done to this country is insulting. That's what's insulting. Now, when you go into the comments section, don't read the comments. When you go into the comments section, lots of other people beat me to it and put Futsak ANC in all the comments, including the Biz News ones. There are a lot of other people saying it. There are tons of podcasters standing up and calling truth to power. The NGOs and civil society have always been doing it. Even media companies are starting to do it. Mainstream media, dinosaur media, whatever you want to call it. There were very few signs of light. BizNews was one of them, standing up and calling it out. Now there are more. So my job will be done once the ANC barbarians have left. And then I will stand down because ons verjou South Africa. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm actually a realist who loves this country too much to watch it burn in silence. And my title, where I've got 10 more minutes, I'll do it quickly, is South Africa's Uninvestable and the ANC. And everything you've heard over the last 2 days tells you why. And I'm not going to bang on too much about the detail. But if you're still putting your money into South Africa under the ANC leadership, you're not investing. You're gambling with your family's future. And it's not about race. It's not about the past. It's simply about competence, accountability, and results. And on every single measure, as you've heard from John Endres and everyone before him, on every single measure, growth, jobs, infrastructure, safety, governance, the ANC has failed. You just look at GDP, the only measure of the stat I'm going to give you. Since 2008, when the rot really kicked in, our GDP growth has been on average 1.3%. And our population growth on average has been 1.4%, more recently 2%. Every year since 2008, we have gone backwards. We have got poorer. That is disgusting by any measure. We're deindustrializing. We're the only country in the world going backwards. How did that happen? We know. I'm not going to talk about corruption in any detail, but the ANC has institutionalized it. I mean, the amount they've stolen in 4 years over state capture is more than our annual national budget. And that money should have built schools, hospitals, infrastructure. I mean, can you imagine the missed, this lost generation, this missed opportunity? Cyril Ramaphosa himself admits corruption lasted a decade while he was deputy president. I mean, that man is beyond reproach. And asking him to fix it, It's like asking an arsonist to put out a fire. 2 hours ago, I got a call from a friend who is very well connected and is generally right on this. I'm not sure whether to believe it or not, but he said the NEC had a meeting. They've given up on Cyril and Patrice Motsepe. They're in discussion with him to become the next head of the ANC. Now, I have a very short attention span, but nothing like Patrice, if you've ever met him. While he's talking to you, he's looking over your shoulder. He is a highly intelligent man. He's a good man. But whether he could actually deliver the goods, I doubt it. And John and Alex summarized it well, you know, the pirate ships and the sinking galleon. I think it's better to wait for it to sink, get a submarine, and go and pick up the treasure. So who knows if Patrice is going to take it. I think his real interest is to be head of FIFA. Now, which is more fun? Load shedding, I'm not going to go into. You know the damage it has caused this country. And I have to salute Dan Marikana and Mteta Nyati, unsung heroes. Okay, I know Andre de Reuter is here and deserves a huge amount of praise. But his successors, Mteta Nyati chairman, Dan Marikana, both have spoken at Business News conferences, have done an unbelievable job on the operational side and have not been praised properly and ought to be. They've fixed a huge amount of the operational side of Eskom. The balance sheet side's a disaster. I mean, who knows what will happen there? Maybe Stafford can fix it with his new projects. Unemployment, we know the results. It's horrific. It's embarrassing beyond belief. And on tax and welfare, only 12% of South Africans pay tax. That's about 7 million people out of 60 million, but only 100,000 people, all of you, and another 99,700 pay 90% of the tax. Our tax base is tiny, the people that pay tax. 62% of our black population are on social grants. And Cyril said it as almost something of an accomplishment when he said that 28 million people on social grants. Look what we've done. We've gone from 18 to 28. Aren't we good? I mean, who is this person? And we're in a debt-death spiral. Let me explain that. Debt to GDP was 24% in 2008. It's 75% now. That means 20% of government revenue goes to interest payments. And it means we're borrowing money today to pay interest on old debt. Let's talk quickly about foreign investment and the brain drain. Remember, I'm just giving you the ANC balance sheet and then ANC record. And then I'm going to tell you what to invest in, the five things. All five have been mentioned today already, but I'm summarizing them. We've got a massive brain drain. We've got almost no foreign direct investment. And it's pretty obvious why. Tourism contributes 3.7% to GDP, but is bleeding as 40% of tourism outfits rely on diesel and they can barely break even. The result, brain drain, skills shortages. So with 4 minutes and 42 seconds to go, where would I, or where have I, put my money? Five things. Ready? Gold, the ultimate safe haven. $6.8 billion exports in 2024, 14% of mineral exports. The ANC cannot destroy gold. They can destroy everything else. They can't destroy gold. But my advice is not to buy mining company shares because they're still regulation, load shedding from Eskom, union strikes, everything else. Buy physical gold. It's, Kruger Rands, physical gold, and I'd allocate 5 to 10% of my portfolio to physical gold. And it's done very well thus far. Two, Bitcoin, digital gold. You knew I'd say that. It's portable, it's non-confiscatable, and it's non-inflatable. And I heard this wonderful story of somebody who'd been called up for the Russian army and did not want to go and fight in Ukraine. He sold everything he had, turned it into Bitcoin, remembered the codes in his head, walked across the border into a friendly country and externalized all his capital. That's where Bitcoin has a major advantage over gold itself. And then technology, number three, AI, it's the future economy. Now, how do you invest in AI? Well, Magnus will tell you the Magnificent Seven, and he's right. That's the best and cleverest and easiest way. And I would back him every day in the every day of the week, and I think he's going to get into Bitcoin, so he'll have 100% of my interest at heart. How do you invest in AI? It's not that easy. What have I done? There's a 24-year-old South African Nick French introduced me to called Courtney Marland. His father, Simon Marland, the CTO of Nedbank, he grew up in Boksburg or Brakpan or Benoni, one of the Bs. And Courtney is 24 years old. He's had two successful exits already, and he was one of the Y Combinator graduates. And if you know, heard of Y Combinator, it's the number one accelerator in the world. And they take in 400 companies a year, okay? Out of 40,000 or 400,000, they take in 400 companies a year, 100, 100, 100 in four-month patches. They give them all the support, all the access to launch their businesses, and they invest in about 25% of that. Courtney, South African's business, LYRA, was the number one company last year and early this year, and I managed to invest in it in the seed round. They've already raised the next round at an enormous valuation. And Courtney set up a fund to invest in Y Combinator graduates, AI B2B. Okay? So I've invested in that, and he's going to be doing 30 investments of $250,000 each in 30 different companies within Y Combinator. So between the Magnificent Seven and this little private equity fund is my ability to access AI. Tourism, number four. This was mentioned as well. So South Africa has the greatest country to visit from 100 different aspects. You know it, I know it. I came back to South Africa. My New Zealand wife says, this is the greatest country in the world. I love it. It's worth fighting for. And we take half our holidays in South Africa. That's how much she loves it. So the ability to invest in world-class tourist destinations that can't be destroyed by the ANC, that can't disappear, you know, that are inexpensive for foreigners to come and visit, well, is an incredibly good long-term bet. And they're insulated from government. And the final one is Western Cape property. You heard this from Magnus. You heard it from others. This is the safe haven province. 34% of 2024 bond applications were for investment properties. So back the province that works. So South Africa under the ANC is not investable. And this is not pessimism. This is reality. I just want to give a final quote. It's always good to add on a quote, 18 seconds to go. And this is really to Chris Stain. You gave me very good advice. Hanlon's razor. You heard of Occam's razor, but here's Hanlon's razor. I love it. Never attribute to malice, which is adequately explained by stupidity. Thank you very much.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, a multi-award-winning, truly independent boutique wealth manager. Invest better with Brenthurst.